God's viewpoint on money. First, the parable from Luke 12 on the rich fool.
Good morning, and welcome to God Talk with Dr. Hal Green. You can listen to Dr. Green each Sunday morning here on KWPC between 8:30 and 9 for interesting discussions about God. And now, here's Dr. Green.
Good morning. Today I'm going to pick up what will be our sixth in a series on the parables of Jesus. What did Jesus teach us in the parables? And I think it's kind of appropriate today to talk about money. This is the season of giving, and therefore it's the season of spending. It's a time when we see how important money is in our culture. You know, the world runs on money. And often after it, it is kind of the god of this place. For some, money is actually almost worshipped here. It bestows power, plenty, privilege, prestige. Many fill their waking hours earning and spending it, or maybe most of us do. Look at our malls right now. Have you been out shopping? You know, we now have the online shopping, and I confess I also do that. It's so easy to go to Amazon or Costco or whatever and save yourself a lot of time. Even though I do love going to stores, I'm a shopper. But it's kind of a madhouse now, isn't it, as we get closer and closer to Christmas. For many, it's been said that shopping malls have become the churches or the synagogues or mosques or wherever, as people invest themselves in things material rather than spiritual, in mortgaging rather than enriching their tomorrow. I remember when our kids were young, and as a pastor, we weren't making much, and really our issue, and I know of the couples this is true, was, okay, this Christmas, how much can I afford to go into debt in order to ensure that our children have a great Christmas? And then how many months will it take to pay it off, assuming, God willing, that there's not some emergency that requires us to go even farther in debt? Having served a lot of churches over a long time, I can tell you that most of us have difficulty giving our hard-earned money to others. We pay what we have to pay in taxes, but we certainly want to do with the rest of our money as we see fit. There are some who are very generous to charity, to church, or their worship place, and others who are more like, remember the Silas martyr, remember reading that in high school, who just wants to covet it, hold it, save it for themselves. Well, the truth is, money in the sight of God is a means rather than an end. It has no value in itself, but only in terms of what it can do for us, or what we can do for it, and may not it, but for others in our life. Look at it, but paper money. I remember in junior high, a kid found or showed me what he had found in his attic, Confederate dollar bills. I remember looking at those and thinking, well, they're absolutely worthless now. Wonder what they were worth, you know, back during the Civil War days. Or look at the pictures I've seen of the money that had Saddam Hussein, his face. That's worthless too. Money is a means for attaining the good life that we all want, which signifies happiness, peace of mind, which is supposed to come along when we have enough, whatever having enough means to us. So have you got enough? Is there such a thing? I have talked to billionaires who said there is no such thing as enough. And I've talked to people who are very poor who said, we have enough. Madison Avenue, if we still go there, endlessly seeks to promote the importance of spending or our competitive keeping up with the Joneses. You don't hear that much about that now, but boy, we sure did when I was growing up. So this is what many of us believe. We say, you know, money may not be everything, but it can sure get us most everything. I hear the Beatles song in my head right now. Money can't buy you love, can't buy you love. Yeah. But can money get us most everything? I recently received an email. You know, do you get emails that people find these great little statements or quotes and they just send it to you or put on Facebook? Anyway, detailed what money can and cannot buy for you. So let me read it in part, because I thought it was really insightful. Money can buy you a house, but not a home. It can buy you a bed, but not sleep. I'm a bit of an insomniac, that's why I laugh. It can buy you a clock, but not time. It can buy you a book, but not knowledge. It can buy you a position, but not respect. It can buy you medicine, but not health. I have done a lot of funerals over the years, and I've been there as a pastor bedside for people who are quite wealthy, but all of their wealth couldn't give them one more hour of life. It can buy you blood, but not life. It can buy you sex, but not love. Well, the Bible teaches that money comes from and always belongs to God. It's really God's. It comes from God. And if God bestows it on you or me, now it's not just the reason for rejoicing, but we have to be good and grateful stewards of what remains and God's wealth that we're going to have to leave behind. So we'll have to give account, we'll have to give an account of what we do with what we receive. So Michael Bloomberg, if you've heard, he was the mayor of New York, he's a multi-billionaire. He said that he's at least intent on giving everything away. He said so that when he dies, the check for the funeral will bounce. Well, that's quite a statement. You know, we can't take our wealth with us. We'll be able to take with us a record. And he said to them, take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, what shall I do, for I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, you fool. Now, biblically, the word fool means one who is really stupid before God, who's doing the wrong things, and it's going to cost. This very night, your soul is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. Now that's a, boy, that flies in the face of this world, where people, you know, have storage areas, right? How many of you know or have your own storage areas because you have too much stuff to put in your house? Wow. We visit in California, we have kids out there, they don't have basements in Central Coast California. And so they have to have storage areas, and the first place they store is their garage. You wouldn't believe garages. Very few cars are able to be put into a garage because that's where they store their stuff. stuff. We have so much stuff. By the way, Jesus continued in Luke 12, right after that parable, with something that is also repeated in chapter 6 of Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. So it bears repeating. Not only repeating, but taking to heart. Because this is a very positive message for us. He said to his disciples, therefore, always significant in Scripture when you get a therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to the span of your life? If then you are not able to do so small a thing as that, do not worry about the rest. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying, for it is the nations of the world that strive after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Isn't that that I never tire of hearing? You know, right today, the stock market now is up like it's never been, but it could go down 1,000 points Monday. If you put your goods out there, you know, there's always going to be turmoil. There's always going to be if, ands, or but. But if your heart is stored with God, you can have peace and trust. Now, I got to bring up at this point 1 Timothy, and then we'll take a break. Because I'm going to ask you to just kind of mull this over. This is from 1 Timothy chapter 6. Well-known verses. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if you have food and clothing, or if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. And that's the key, is sufficiency. Just be content with what you have. You'll always have enough. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. And here's the key passage, my friends. However, often misquoted. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It's not money. It's not money that's the root of all evil. It's not money as such. Because that comes from God. It is the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, man of God, because he's writing to Timothy, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Let's take a break to hear the weather now.
Muscatine's only free online source for local news and obituaries. Search voiceofmuscatine.com.
Iowa's number one bike shop is Harper Cycling and Fitness, helping you find fun on two wheels every single day. For bikes, helmets, accessories, and the largest selection of Oakley sunglasses in town, head to Harper Cycling and Fitness, 1106 Grandview Avenue, Muscatine.
Here's a look at your forecast from the KWPC AM 860 and FM 95.1 Weather Center. Snow likely becoming mixed precipitation today, otherwise overcast. High of 35, southerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for mixed precipitation again tonight. Lows dip down to about 17, partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 25. I'm WeatherEye meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
Wake up with KWPC, AM 860, FM 95.1, your partner in agribusiness.
Okay, we're back. Back to talk about one of our favorite subjects. Well, one of the subjects that consumes a lot of our time. Money. Gaining it, spending it. Now I have a second parable of Jesus after the parable of the rich fool. And again, a parable is laying alongside one story or metaphor to try to say more about what God's will is, how God sees us, and what's important to God. And this next one is kind of a mind-boggler. When I have preached on this, I tell you, the comments I've got from people just trying to get it because it doesn't make sense. But it does in one context only. It's the parable of the dishonest steward, also from Luke's Gospel, the 16th chapter, the first 9 verses. And it shows us in an almost scandalous way how we are to use money in accordance with God's will. How we are to use money in accordance with God's will, which includes, here's the making of friends in heaven. The making of friends in heaven, who will be there to greet us when we finally arrive. You know, the reality is death here is birth there, only of course we're fully grown there, and loved ones, God, will be there to greet us. And I tell people, if it takes 9 months for a baby to be born, once a woman becomes pregnant, and all the work that hopefully goes in to be ready for that baby, imagine how heaven prepares for us. Because Jesus said, I will prepare a place for you, and I will come and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you will be also. I will not leave you orphaned. So here's a parable. There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer. So he got fired for squandering, basically stealing this guy's money like an employee. Then the manager said to himself, what will I do now that my master's taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. Right? I can't be a day laborer, and I don't want to go to people and beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes. So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, how much do you owe my master? He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, and how much do you owe? He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and make it 80. And he did this apparently with all of his master's debtors. And his master, and here's the part that just throws us, his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into eternal homes. Did you get that? You know, to the shock of those listening to Jesus, the master praises rather than condemns this dishonest steward in doing what he did. Why? Because he was a shrewd rogue who knew the meaning of the hour and what he had to do to take care of himself by the use of money while he still had the chance to use it just before it was cut off by his master. The steward lost his job for squandering his master's money. I think this probably sounds familiar to any of us regarding how we have seen people use money. So he quickly determined what he had to do to provide for himself and his family. He used his master's money to his own advantage, as well as for the benefit of others, by easing the burden of their debt, lessening their true debt to his master. And since his manner of doing so was illegal, obviously, those who went along with it now became accomplices to his thievery. He knew how to make friends with his former master's debtors, so they would have to take him in and help him in his needy transition. They more or less had to help him, or, you know, he always had the option of blackmailing them. Did you get that? He made friends. So the parable teaches us that there is no more important use of money than to gain friends, and in Jesus' context, friends in heaven. Not just this life, like a Michael Bloomberg in giving to his charity or charities. Gaining friends not here alone, but in the world to come. Why? So that, as Jesus tells us, when we are forced out of this life, when we have to die, and presumably at that point, hey, you're going to die, there it is. Just like the steward who was forced out of his livelihood, quote, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. So these friends, presumably, include Jesus, the angels, the saints, loved ones, family, friends. Due to their friendship, when we must jettison our life and all that belongs here, that has to stay here. Just like the pharaohs of Egypt, all the stuff they put into their tombs so they could take across stayed right here. At our final judgment, these persons, presumably, will speak as friends on our behalf to God. Jesus tells us that, you know, if you speak well of me, I will speak well of you to my Father. But if you deny me here, I will deny you to my Father. How we use money here is an indication of our faithfulness with that which belongs to God, including mammon. Jesus says, whoever, and this is also from Luke 16, after that parable of the dishonest steward, whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, money, mammon, who will entrust to you true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, money to God, who will give you what is your own, your place of standing in heaven? The Bible promises that when we are faithful to the Lord with our substance, with our heart and money, God will fill our barns with plenty. Proverbs 3rd chapter, verses 9 and 10. Our cup will runneth over. Even God asks us to test us, to test him in this. Do for me, and I will do for you. Come on, test me. It says that in the prophet Malachi. The Bible is emphatic that what we do in this life largely determines what will happen to us in the world to come. Not just about a relationship, but things, for example, what we do with money. Wow. As Jesus solemnly declares, also in Luke, the measure you give will be the measure you get back. And Paul teaches, do not be, from Galatians 6, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at the harvest time if we do not give up. So whenever you have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those of the family of faith. Wow. How we use money determines not only our eternal habitation, but also what will be available to us in our earthly retirement, however long that may last. Yet, must we not prepare all the more strenuously for our eternal retirement? One great difference between our retirement in this life, and I'm not retired, thank God I have a pension, is that our earthly retirement is something for which you have to save, right? Put it away, save it. And for the other, your eternal retirement in heaven, it'll be determined not so much by what you save, but by what you give of yourself as well as your goods. For the former, we may keep the belongings we love. For the latter, we may keep only the love of those to whom we belong, because the only thing you can take with you, my friends, is love, relationships. So I can ask, how much are you now saving for retirement? And how much are you giving for eternal life? Interesting. Well, I need to take care of now, and I want this, and I want that, and I just have to throw myself on God's mercy, even though God's already saying these things to me. No. What are you saying to God by your use of money? What am I saying? What kind of heavenly return can you expect if you don't fully invest yourself and your money in God's kingdom now? What comes out of your billfold may have as much to do with your eternal future as what comes out of your mouth. In short and in sum, it's best to avoid facing God friendless. As Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, and this is something that I take to heart. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Well, my friends, if you would like to hear this show again, I'll have it on my website later today, drhalgreen.com, drhalgreen.com. And if you would like to write me, I do get emails of any questions or issues you have about God that you would like me to address, either in the show or just write you back. Give me an email at drhalgreen@gmail.com, drhalgreen@gmail.com. Have a blessed day. Have a blessed week. See you next time.
This is your home in the country, KWPC, K2.